Turn your Bible to Psalm number 34. You know, I've told you this so many times, I want to tell you one more time, though. When I was in Vietnam, and we found the enemy in a hole, a bunker, and they wouldn't come out, we'd start throwing in smoke grenades, and we'd keep throwing it in until they come out. And believe me, they would eventually come out. Amen. And so I think I found that bunker, and God wants me to start to store a little smoke in. I've been throwing it in there a little bit here lately anyway. And I've used the theme so many times, or the word so many times, that I'm going to preach around that again tonight. And don't make any apologies for it, because I think that's where a lot of Baptists are living tonight. A lot, including myself. I'm not sure sometimes I don't get there. I know I have been there in times past and may get there again before this thing is over, what I'm going to be preaching on tonight. So Psalm number 34 and I'm going to read the whole chapter, but verse number 6 is Bob Jones III's favorite verse in all the Bible. When he signs his name in the Bible, he puts that verse of Scripture down by it. I'm not saying it because he does that, but this is a tremendous chapter in the Bible. Let's read it together. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. They looked upon him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate righteousness shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Now that's reading all 22 verses of Psalm 34. Let's pray together. Ask God's help tonight. You pray that God will help me. I'm satisfied I'm right where the Lord wants me to be tonight on this. And I'm confident of that. And so I won't try to preach it. I'm not going to say that. Brother Steve, if you would pray for me tonight, please, before I preach.
Lord God in heaven, as we approach the throne of grace tonight, I pray you touch the man of God.
Lord, help us, Lord.
Power of God. And the devil doesn't like preaching, the flesh doesn't like preaching.
That's right, Lord.
But it is what you use, and it's the message, the way that it's delivered, it's the Word of God. Touch the man of God, give him the words to say, anoint him with power of God. I myself have needs and things that need to be answered. And Lord, there's others in here tonight that no doubt they may be on the very edge of an important decision. Or touch the man of God tonight and tell him the words to say,
yes, Lord. God, help us. Please help us. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated, all right? I want to read that verse number 6 as our text verse. And notice what David says here. He said, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him." Isn't that wonderful to know that when we cry unto the Lord... And he's not necessarily talking about poor financially. He's talking about poor in spirit. When we cry unto the Lord, and we're not heady and we're not high-minded, but we're poor in spirit, that the Lord hears us. And not only does he hear us, but the verse goes on to say, "And saved him out of all of his trouble." That is, he delivered him. That's what that word "saved" simply means, is delivered. And God delivered him out of all his troubles. I read another verse up here, I believe in verse 17. "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles." You ought to underline that word "all." Delivereth them out of all. When God delivers, he delivers all the way. He doesn't leave anything behind. He delivers all the way. And whether it be salvation or whether it be something in our life, some battle we're fighting, God delivers all the way. Now, you may have heard this message. If you had, I'll guarantee it's been a long time ago. But I want to preach tonight, if God will help me, on this thought, when we come to the end of our rope. When we come to the end of our rope. I know you've heard that old saying many times. I've just about come to the end of the rope. And when we come to the end of the rope, it's... what we're saying is there's nothing left there to get a hold of. But I'm glad that when we have nothing to get a hold of, there's somebody at the end of the rope that can get a hold of us. That's right. And that's absolutely right. And we use that phrase quite frequently. I've come to the end of my rope. That means we're helpless. We've done all that we can do. There's nothing else within our power that can be done. And if someone doesn't do something for us, we're going to lose the battle, or we're going to be overcome, or we're going to sit down on God, or we're not going to gain the request that we've been crying to God for. And I've heard that many times. When I come, I've just about come to the end of my rope. I've heard my mama say that a number of times. You bunch of brats. I'm just about to the end of my rope with you. And I'm going to tell you, the end of mama's rope was a noose. Amen. Amen. And I knew to shut up real quick like, hallelujah. When mama said she's at the end of that rope, I knew what she was talking about. And I knew if I didn't shut up, I'd be on the end of that rope. Hallelujah. And it'd be around, you know, on the backside. Amen. Amen. Now, I've mentioned before, all of David's Psalms had a situation in his personal life that he preached from. The majority of them did. And Psalm 34 is no exception. The occasion here in David's life in this psalm is written, that's written is found in 1 Samuel chapter number 21 and verse 10 through 15. And you don't need to turn there. I'm just going to give you this information. And we find in that chapter, in 1 Samuel 21, we find that shepherd boy that became the champion of Israel after his victory over Goliath is now fleeing for his life. You know, that is strange, but it seems like that happens to us so many times that we can come through a battle with great victory. We can be triumphant in our life over some problem, some trial, something in our life, and yet not many days after that, we'll find ourselves on the run. That's exactly what happened to David here. David had marched out into the valley of Elah and won victory over Goliath. And he's now fleeing for his life. And he makes the statement as he makes this trip that there's only one step between him and death. That's all there is, one step between him and death. King Saul and all the armies of Israel is pursuing after little old David. And in fear in his own heart, and I'll say something about that in just a moment, but in the fear of his own heart, David flees to King Achish. Achish was a lord of Gath, and this man was one of the lords of the Philistines. And those are the people, and this man may have very well been in the valley of Elah and saw Goliath go down in defeat at the hands of little old David. But here's David that killed a man over 9 feet tall, and now he's running from Saul and running from the host of Israel, and he's running for his life. He's absolutely running for his life. And he runs to Achish there in Gath. And the servants of Achish recognize David. They know who he is. He's standing at the gate, and they recognize who he is. And because of David's fear and his frustration, and he's full of fear, and he's frustrated. And to be honest, he can't understand what's going on in his life. And you'd be the same way too. Here is a man that done wrought a great victory in Israel. Here is a man that went out to battle for Saul, who later became his father-in-law. Here is a man that they said, Saul slayed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. Here is a great warrior in Israel, and now his heart is full of fear. He's won a great battle. He's been victorious. But now fear grips his soul as it never has. And he's frustrated because that fear is there. And he's frustrated because those that he delivered in battle have now become his enemies. I'm going to tell you, we better be careful of that in our day. I've seen that happen in my own life, that you'll help somebody and be a blessing to somebody, and if you're not careful, they'll turn right around and become your very enemies. And we want to watch that in our life. I'm just being honest with you tonight now. Those many times that we help and we'll even deliver in life can turn and become our enemies. Saul did. Saul, if he had had his way, would have killed David 100 times. He literally hated David. And the reason he did was jealousy. He knew that the people loved David more than they loved Saul, and Saul hated him because of that, and he wanted to kill his own son-in-law, and David had fled for his own life. And there at the gate of Achish, he feigns himself as though he's a madman, and he begins to let the Bible calls it spittle. And I know some of these preachers don't believe in a beard, but the Bible said David let that spittle run down his beard. You can look that up in the Word of God if you want to. And let it run down upon his beard. And Achish, believing that David could be of no use to him at all, he said, he's a madman. What use have I got of a madman? What can a madman do for me? And he drove David from his presence. And David fled to that cave of Adullam. There's much in the Bible about that cave. David always found a refuge there. You know, all of us have got a place in our own life, maybe not a particular place out yonder in the world, but a place in our own heart that we can run to and find refuge there in times of trouble and in times of storm. We can run there and find safety in that time of storm. That's exactly what David did. He ran to that cave, and I'm satisfied. He was very, very familiar with that cave. And so here is a man that is after God's own heart. He's after God's own heart, but he comes to the end of his rope. There he is fleeing from Saul. He has no ally in Gath with the Philistines. So he runs for his life to the only place that he knows to go, and that's to that lonely little cave down yonder called the Cave of Adullam. And it's there in that cave that David comes to the end of his rope. I imagine he's sitting there thinking, I wonder why my father-in-law wants to take my life. All I've done is do him good. And I wonder why Achish, I fled to him and he knows I'm a mighty man of valor and war. Why would he drive me from his presence? And he's full of fear and he's frustrated in his own heart and his own life. And it's there that David comes to the end of his rope. In other words, David says in that cave, I don't know what I'm going to do. Have you ever got to that place in your life when things were going on and you said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've done everything that I know to do, and what I've done has not worked, it's not turned out right, it's not been good, and I don't know what to do about it. And it was there that old David, young little David, come to the end of his rope. But the Lord gives him words in this psalm, give him words to this psalm. In that cave is where he wrote this psalm. And in that psalm, God gave deliverance to David's heart. Now, I've said this to you a minute. I preached one time out of one of the Psalms and called it. Now, I'll get to the message in a minute. I called it a sermon and a psalm. And it was there in that cave that all the outcasts of Israel came to David. 600 turned out to be 600 mighty men. His own mother and father came down there. And they were all outcasts. But, oh, they turned out to be mighty men of valor. And I preached out of that one psalm to you where David sang them a song and then he preached to them the word of God. And he that was discouraged encouraged those others. One man that was at the end of his rope found enough grace from God that he was able to encourage those others. And I'm telling you, hey, sometimes when we get to the end of our rope and have no place else to go and nobody to turn to, God has us there for a reason, and that reason is to help somebody else in their life. And David helped 600 men because God allowed him to come to the end of his rope, and he was able to be a blessing to those that had followed him down there. Are y'all listening now? God might help us a little bit here. Amen. And he says there in that verse 6, he said, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Anybody here ever had any trouble? Job said, a man that's born a woman is a few days and full of troubles. And as the sparks fly upward, a man is sure to have troubles, the Bible said. And Job also said, he said, I wasn't, in so many words, he said, I wasn't looking for it, I wasn't expecting it. But he said, the thing that I feared the most came my way, and that was troubles. And I'm telling you, hey, are you listening to me? We're living in a society when Baptist people, God's people, people that are some of the most godliest people that I know are in trouble in their own Christian life. And they're like David. They've just about come to a place where they've come to the end of their rope. Many of them have come to the end of the rope with their children. Many of them have come to the end of the rope with their spouse. Many of them have come to the end of the rope with their in-laws. Many of them have come to the end of the rope with friends that they've known for years. I know people that have known a preacher for 25 years and kicked out on him. After 25 years in the house of God, and they've left it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Because troubles come and they don't know how to handle those troubles. And there's only one way to handle them. It's like David did. This poor man cried. And God heard him and delivered him out of all, or saved him out of all of his trouble. Are you listening to me? I went down through there and marked these words. He used there in verse 4 the word delivered. He used in verse 7 where it says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. He used up here in verse number 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. He said in verse number 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth, which means the same thing, saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. He said in verse 19, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. And hey, this chapter is just full of those words, that word called deliver. And I'm telling you what David is trying to get us to understand here is that when you come to the end of the rope and you have absolutely nobody to turn to, that there is somebody at the end of the rope that you can turn to. Hallelujah to God. And God has brought you to the end of the rope that you will turn to Him. Somebody say amen right there. Many times God has to bring us to that place because we're not willing in our heart to turn to Him when things are going good. We have a tendency to trust in ourselves and believe in ourselves. But when God gets us to the end of the rope, brother, then is when we'll cry to Him and God will deliver us. And that's the point He's trying to make here. This poor man cried. I'm going to say that word cried does not mean he said, "Lord, please help me." That word cried, oh no. It's talking like crying like a baby would to its mama. Amen. I picked up little Haley tonight over at the house. She was doing fine till mama went in the half bath, wasn't 7 feet from me. Sitting there on my lap, and when mama got out of her sight, she said, "Wah!" "Wah!" I said, "What is wrong?" She said, "Ah!" I said, "Tammy." About Tammy walked out of there and she went. All right, listen. Hey, she cried. Now I'm going to tell you, when mama heard her cry, mama came. Now I'm going to tell you, we got a Heavenly Father. When He hears the cry, He comes, ladies and gentlemen. God cares about you. God's concerned about your troubles. God's concerned about your problems. God's concerned about your heartache. God wants to see you make it. God wants to see you prosper. God wants to see you blessed. God wants you to have the very best that heaven can possibly provide for you in your life. God Almighty wants you to have that. Somebody say amen. We act like God's some old grump that don't want us to be blessed. God help us. God's not that way, but we got to understand God's ways a little bit.
Amen.
And how God, what ways God uses to bless us. You wouldn't think a blessing would come out of this. But I want to remind you, you can turn over to the latter chapters in Samuel, and you'll find 30 men mentioned there that were David's 30 mighty men. You know where they were at? In that cave, friend. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, down in that cave when David come to the end of his rope, God developed courageous and strong men. And He can do it yet today.
Amen.
Buddy, I'm telling you, America's in a mess. Yes. Our churches are in a mess. I've never seen so much carnality in the house of God.
Amen.
That's what I'm seeing now. So much sin in the house of God. That's what I'm seeing now. Amen. God's people that used to be separated and dressed right and lived right, amen, and walked right, have went back on God and backslid on God, and we're falling right back into sin. And brother, we better cry to God about our trouble if we ever expect to have any help from God.
Amen.
I know that's right. Hallelujah. Now, listen to me carefully. I learned this truth some time ago. The Lord delivers the heart, not the situation. Now, you'll catch that after a while. God delivers man's heart and not the situation. Somebody said, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I'll get to it in just a minute. So often we want the Lord to deliver us by removing the problem. The Lord does not want to always remove the problem. You've heard the song, "Lord, don't move this mountain. Give me grace to climb it." God doesn't always want to move the mountain from before us. God doesn't always want to just, and He could just say the word and the problem would vanish. God doesn't want it that way. He wants us to grow in grace. Have you ever considered that God is conforming us to the very image of Christ? And Christ is powerful. In fact, He is all powerful. And I'm telling you, God wants us to have grace. God wants us to have spiritual power. God wants us to have the ability to overcome sin in our life and troubles in our life, because He is conforming us to the image of His blessed Son. Amen. Is anybody listening tonight? Boy, I hope so. So often we want the Lord to deliver by removing the problem, but the Lord wants us to overcome the problem that's in our heart. Then the situation that surrounds the problem will be changed. Somebody said, "Preacher, do you have an example?" That's sure. For an example up to this point, listen carefully. David fears who? He fears Saul, number one. He fears King Achish. He fears his foes. David's frustrated. Brother Nolan always says frustrated. That's why I said that. He's fleeing from his enemies. But when the Lord sent deliverance, hey, the heart of David is what was changed. David's heart was changed. Hey, he had the same enemies. Saul didn't die. Achish didn't die. Israel's army didn't die. Nobody died that was causing him the problem. Nobody. He had the same problem. He just had victory over the problem. In fact, Saul crawled up in a cave, and David crept down and cut his skirt off and could have killed him. The problem remained, ladies and gentlemen, but David in his heart overcome that problem by the grace of hope. And God will give us grace in our life to overcome the problems in our life if we'll trust Him for it. He will not always take away the trouble and take away the problem, but He will give our heart the grace to overcome that in our life. Better believe that's right. Amen. Now, he had the same enemies. He had the same situation. He had the same trouble. But the fears and the frustrations that were in his heart were gone. They were gone. Amen. Is everybody listening? We got the idea that when we get saved, when God saves us, that He changes our heart at salvation, and we're never changed after that ever again. That ain't the way it works. God does change a man's heart when he gets saved. But I'm telling you, there's more battles to fight than one, ladies and gentlemen. And friend, I'm telling you, that heart has got to contend. And it's deceitful and desperately wicked, and don't you let anybody tell you any different than that. I don't give a flip what some of these guys say that talk about having a heart in them that's perfect. I've never run into a fellow like that yet. And I'm going to tell you, most men want to preach on the sins of commission. That is what's done. And the biggest problem a lot of us have are sins of omission, what is not done. A lot of them can rant and rave on this and that and everything else, but they never tell you about the fact that they forgot to pray that morning. They didn't read their Bible that morning. They got in an argument with their wife that morning. Are you listening to me? They didn't tell nobody about God that day. Amen. Come on now. They didn't tithe. They didn't. Hey, come on now. I tell you, things that we don't do many times is the very things that get us in trouble with God. Not always what we do. Sometimes it's what we don't do. Amen. That's right. Now, after the deliverance, David spares Saul's life twice. He lives in Ziklag in the land of Gath. He makes his way back there, and he's providentially spared from fighting against his own people, Israel. Now, listen, I won't be long here. I've got about 3 or 4 little points, and I'm done. I want to make application using these verses and show you what the Lord can deliver us from when we come to the end of our rope. May I say, number one, He can deliver us from our fears. Look in verse, if you would, please, number 4. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Now, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm getting ready to say here. David is seeking in the camp of his enemies, or he's seeking help in the camp of his enemies, because he fears his own people. And God said here that He delivered David from all his fears. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me, I've got that underlined, from all my fear. Hallelujah to God. He delivered me from the fear of Achish, from the fear of Saul, from the fear of all of my foes. He delivered me from that. Amen. Have you ever been delivered from any fear? I know grown men in the military that were scared to death to take a shot. I've seen them pass out, buddy. They put that gun up and shoot with air and shoot that air gun into their arm to give them a shot. And then they flinch and they twist and that blood starts running down their arm. And some they can't take a sight of blood. And I thought, good Lord, they, you know, they're going out. But I've seen some start to go out and they'd, and they'd rally back up. But I've seen others just walk in there and let them shoot them in the arms. And they didn't make them hurt. You know why? They stood out there and they said, now if y'all flinch, these things are going to cut you. And they overcome that fear. I saw men in Vietnam overcome fear. I'm telling you, fear and war will get you killed. You hear what I'm saying? And fear in this spiritual war. It's good to have, I don't know how to say this without sounding crazy. But there is such a thing as respecting your enemy. And respecting your problems that come your way. But not to fear them. Not to fear them. And God here helped David overcome or delivered him from all of his fear. And because he had sought him, he had sought the Lord in prayer. He said, I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. And he heard me and delivered me from all of my fear. No wonder I got excited when Tammy and these girls were singing about God heard me. Are you listening to what I'm saying? We've got the idea that God does not hear in prayer anymore. I'm telling you, and the majority of us are not praying enough to amount to anything. God, help us. I'm telling you, if this church would get to praying, we could touch heaven. I'll guarantee you we could touch heaven. We could touch God. And I'll guarantee you that God could deliver this church and bring revival to this church and the power of God to this church and the joy back into this church and the joy back into some of your homes. And God could save sinners in our community as well. Amen. That's right. I know that's right. Now, our hearts, he said, I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord and he heard me, delivered me from all of my fear. He sought the Lord in prayer and God heard him. He said in verse 6, this poor man cried. The Lord heard him, saved him out of all his trouble. Do you believe the Lord hears prayer? Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For whatsoever things you ask in my name believing, they shall be done unto you. I'm telling you, amen. Abide in me and my words in you, and you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I'm telling you, God answers prayer, ladies and gentlemen. But God don't answer selfish prayers. God answers prayer that will glorify God and bless us. And if we'll quit being so selfish and try to pray in a way that will glorify God and help somebody else, you know who will wind up getting the help? Woo! We will! Amen. Don't ask me how God works that, friend, but God does. Amen. That's right. Now, I'm going to ask you something tonight. What do you fear? What do you fear tonight? You may be amazed if we could look into everybody's heart. What fears are lurking in the shadows of your heart tonight? There may be somebody that here tonight that has a fear of failing in your responsibilities as a husband or failing in your responsibilities as a wife. I've heard women say, I'm just not a good wife. I'm failing in my responsibilities. Well, have you tried God? Have you called upon the Lord? I'm not everything my husband wants me to be. Have you considered God in the matter? Some of you men that are failing in your responsibilities to your wife, Have you tried God? Let me ask something. Are you hot-headed? Are you hot-headed around your wife? I'm on, boy. Woo! Are you hot-headed around your wife and family? And cool cucumber when you're around everybody else? I've known men, buddy, and I've called them out and they didn't know it. And they're hot-headed. I'm telling you, they are hot-headed. And they let their wives know how hot-headed they are. And they're going to let their wife know that they're the boss around that house. Had a doctor the other day to ask me, he said, in y'all's religion, said, what do you think about the home and stuff? I said, well, we believe the man's the head of the woman. The doctor said, well, I believe that's a woman. She said, I believe that. I said, but my wife told me that she's the neck and the neck turns the head. She got a good giggle out of that one. But do you fear that tonight? Somebody said, I don't. I'm going to tell you what. The reason some of you don't, some of you just don't care. People today have got to the point in their family life, they just don't care whether they satisfy one another or not. They don't care if they satisfy their wife. They don't care. Women don't care if they satisfy their husband. And I'm not talking about where y'all think about. I'm talking about as being a wife and being a husband to one another. And it's got more to do than cooking and cleaning. Amen. It's got more to do than bringing money home and having a lot of money in your pocket. I've known some families that didn't have two nickels to rub together. They were happier than larks and loved one another and got along one another. And I've seen others. All you got to do is just read the news. That's all you got to do. Every time you turn around, some of these movie stars in Hollywood, son, they're married and divorced as many times as a man changes socks in a week, boy. They got all the money in the world, and money won't make you happy, and money won't help your home make your home happy. And I'm going to tell you what will. When we get down to the nitty-gritty that we've got a responsibility to one another as a husband and a responsibility as a wife to the husband and fulfill those obligations. Amen. That's right. Now, I don't want to be ugly, but I'm telling you, one of them is an intimate relationship. My head hurts. Yeah, my feet hurt too. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. It's preaching time. I'm talking about fears. Somebody said, well, what has that got to do with my spiritual life? If you don't have a home life, we ain't going to have a church life. And if you can't get along together at home, if you're not satisfied, if God's not satisfied you with the mate you got, you surely to God is not going to get along in the house of God and be a blessing to people in the house of God either.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. My wife and I made a deal when we got married that I'd make all the major decisions and she'd make all the little ones. And so far, there ain't been a major decision made in our life. Everything's been small, she's took care of it. I wonder if any of you in here feel like you're failing as a mother or father, raising your children for the Lord. Brother Hall, I don't know how to correct them. Learn how. Read Proverbs and it'll teach you how.
Don't do that no more. Don't do that no more. Don't do that no more. I said, bless God, don't do that no more.
God said, get the rod.
Amen.
Bust their little behind. I don't care what Dr. Spock said.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something else about it. If they're hurt, love them. Somebody said, I'm going to make a man out of my boy. I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to make what you're going to make out of your boy is a hateful little brat that won't love nobody and get along with nobody. I'm telling you, they got to have correction, but they got to have love as well. I want to ask you something. What if when you had something hurting in your heart, you had a real problem? I mean, you were just about ready to die in your soul, and God looked down at you and said, big boy, take care of it yourself. Praise God, you're a big boy now. Get up, take care of yourself. I'm going to tell you what God will do. He'd reach down with tender hands and lift us up. and tell us what caused us to get down there and correct us. Boy, ain't we having fun tonight. Praise God, I am. I'm talking about coming to the end of a rope. Now, I'm going to tell you what you'll do. You'll let them young'uns go and let them whine and let them cry and pack them and tote them around. Come on in the house now. And bless God, I'm going to tell you, one of these days they'll break your heart. And I'm going to tell you, that child that is rebellious will take you to the end of your rope, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't learn to correct them somewhere down the line, they will take you to the end of your rope. Now, I'm not talking about being mean to them either. You don't have to be mean to correct the child. All you had to do is just look at them sometime. Benny got in trouble one time, and you all heard this. I looked over at him and kind of dropped him like I do at Sharon sometimes. Looked down over them glasses. He went to crying. I said, "Boy, what in the world are you crying for?" He said, "Daddy, you know I got soft feelings." That's all it took. Just a look. Are you listening to me? You can train them up that way, folks. Now, I guarantee you tonight, some of you have got a fear. You'd be surprised at the men and women, single men and women, trying to raise a family on their own. And I'm telling you, the fear in their heart is justified. It's justified. I'd hate to have that obligation for myself and that responsibility for myself. I'm telling you, they've multiplied millions of young ladies and young men out here that are trying to raise a child by themselves. They have to carry it off to a daycare center or here or there and go to work and make a living for them. And I'm telling you, they're doing the best they can. Honestly, they are. Some of them are doing the very best they can. But I'm sure in the back of their mind they're wondering, if I keep doing this, how are they going to turn out? And we all wonder about that. How's my child going to turn out? I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm wondering, how's my grandchildren going to turn out? And sometimes I see my grandchildren doing things that I do not put my stamp of approval on. And I see my son-in-laws and my son letting my grandchildren do some things sometimes that I do not put my stamp of approval on. Amen. Come on, we having fun now. And there's a fear in there that for some reason that child is not going to make it. But I'm telling you, we got a responsibility, God. If we just be like David, this poor man cried unto the Lord, and He heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles.
Amen.
I'm telling you, who can help when nobody else can? Friend, when you come to the end of the rope, there's somebody there waiting on you, and it ain't the Pope. And ain't no hope in the Pope at the end of the rope. Pope done popped. Now listen carefully. Or does anybody here feel like they're failing in our duties toward Christ? Well, I'm just not witnessing like I should. I'm not laboring like I should. I'm not doing this like I should. I'm not. I'm entering so many duties. I could go back to the home on duties. Raising children duties. I mean, work duties. I mean, there's so many things. But I wonder if there's people in here tonight that feel like they're failing in their Christian responsibilities and their Christian duties. Somebody said, "I don't feel that way." You probably need to get saved. I always feel like I'm not doing what I ought to do, not doing all that I ought to be doing for the Lord. I've never felt that way. I told somebody the other day, I preached it from right here. I said, I feel like sometimes in my ministry that I have accomplished nothing for God. I feel like I have done nothing to bring glory to God. A lady wrote Miss Hall an email from Memphis, Tennessee and said, "Hey, you tell Brother Hall, for him not to feel that way," said, "I used to listen to him preach all the time when we lived up in Kentucky," and said, "we're living here in Memphis, Tennessee," and said, "I listened to him all the time, every broadcast, he's on Sundays and everything," said, "we don't have a church to go to, and I listened to him all the time on the radio," said, "matter of fact," said, "I listened to him today and heard what he said," and said, "you tell him, I said somebody's got help from him."
Amen.
And I'm not bragging on myself, but I'm telling you how I feel in my heart. I look at some of y'all sometimes, I wonder, God, am I helping them? I'm serious. Lord, is anybody getting anything? Anybody getting any help? Is anybody growing in grace? Is anybody growing in wisdom? Is anybody understanding the Bible better? Do they know the Lord better? Are they creating better relationships with one another? Are they have better relationships with their family? Better relationships with the Lord? I mean, Lord, am I helping them? And if I'm not, I want to be. Now, let me ask you this. Got fear? Some of you got fear of what others will think or say about you? Oh, I want everybody to feel good about me. You better beware, the Bible said, when every man speaks good about you. You probably ain't doing much for God if everybody says, boy, he's a good Joe, he's a good guy, he's a good fella, he's good, he's got, oh, he's a sweet, loving guy, he's got honey running all over him, praise God. I know preachers that hear people out there talk. They got honey. I've had them to call me and say, some of these older women in the area, brother, how? Yes, ma'am.
I'll tell you what, I used to support WSOL, and I'd start supporting it again if you put
California man.
You put Dr. J. Vernon McGee back on the station and some other good preachers like Charles Stanley and David Jeremiah and men like that, I'd start supporting the station. Ma'am, I love you. Keep your money.
You can keep your money. Do we fear what others think about us? If you always fear what somebody thinks about you as a Christian, you'll never make much of a Christian. Somebody said, now, preacher, everybody's supposed to love us. They crucified your Lord.
Amen.
They didn't love Him. They killed Him.
Amen.
They killed Him. They killed Him.
Amen.
They killed Him. And if they killed Him, they'd love to kill you. The devil had him killed, and the devil would love to kill you if he could get by with it.
Amen.
Better believe he would.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, most of us have a real problem with just being ourselves when we're around other people. Did you hear what I said? You have to walk on eggshells when you're around. Scared to death what somebody's going to say about you. We can't even be ourselves. Brother Griffiths talks about putting on a facade. Now I'm going to tell you the biggest facade we're putting on an act to try to please everybody else in the church. Because, hey, we don't want them to know exactly how we really are in our life. Somebody said, well, I don't want them to know. Hey! I'm here to tell you, God wants you to know.
Amen.
There's no need trying to hide things from people. We got the idea we can hide something from somebody and they don't know anything about it and they'll think more about us because we don't do it. Chances are they're doing the same thing or worse. Well, I don't want nobody to know what I'm doing, you know. Well, I'm telling you right now, if you fear what other people think of you, you'll never make much.
Amen.
As a Christian. Do you fear being unsuccessful in life? You feel like when you walk in the house in the evenings, men, that your wife's going to look at you, say, failure! Failure! You've been promising me this got a big house and this and that. You ain't got nothing. You're a failure. Well, I don't know about that. If you love God, I'd rather be a pauper and have nothing and have my family in the house of God and have love in the family.
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you what, I'd rather, the Bible says, I'd rather have love in my family than I would a fatted calf in the skull and hatred therewith. What the book says. That's what the book says. Now listen carefully. Are you trying to live up to somebody else's expectation? You trying to be what somebody thinks you ought to be? Be yourself.
Amen.
Be you. Be who God made you and what God's made you. Well, bless God, I'm going on a crash diet and lose 153 pounds. My husband will sure love me then. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to roll up these muscles, boy. I'm going to tell you, when I pull my shirt off tonight, my wife's going to go crazy over what she sees. You see some of them guys and they look sick. They look like they got some kind of a disease. Some of them look like they got giant snakes wrapped around their belly. I'm telling you, we live in a society of people that are trying to be something besides what God made them, and they're trying to do it to please somebody else. What do you think Michael Jackson wanted to be a white man? He wanted to please white people. Well, here's one he didn't please.
Amen.
Thought of my loving pedophile. Bless God, he ain't pleased me one bit. I can tell you that right now. I ain't got a bit of love for him. Amen. Somebody says, oh, you got to love him. Show me in the Bible where I got to love a reprobate.
Amen.
Somebody said, you don't know what he's reprobate. Come on now, let's get serious about the matter.
Amen.
I can name a few others if you want me to, but y'all would probably stone me. We got frustrations. Said in verse 17, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. I mean, I'm talking about frustration. I'm talking about we're disappointed. We seem like we frustrate. We get frustrated in a plan or something we try to do. We get frustrated about it. We fail because we're afraid to invest our. Listen to me, this is me now. We fail because we're afraid to invest our life in life. Now, you'll catch that in a slow freight after a while. God wants us to take our life and invest it in life. That's what he did. He invested his life in life. In other words, he gave his life that others might have life. And you'll never be happy and satisfied until you give your all to Christ. And give your life that others might have life. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That's the joy of being saved. That's right. Is there something in your life you planned and it hadn't worked out right? Buddy, I planned to have a marriage that was model. A1. Didn't work out, did it? Sweetheart gained about 150 pounds the first 2 years. You found out things wasn't like it was when you first laid eyes on one another. Come on, you might as well say amen. And that man that you used to love, that man you fell in love with, and he weighed 165 pounds, now weighs 365. Come on now. Well, I hope y'all don't stone me tonight. Well, it didn't work out this way. We're supposed to have a good job, a good home, a good family, plenty of money, a fine automobile, and here we are driving this piece of junk. The door fell off of it yesterday. The transmission went out the day before. The engine blowed up last week. The windows fell down out of it. The top's rotted off of it. Generators quit. Carburetors quit. Amen. Rear ends out of it. All four tires went flat. What on earth? I mean, we're supposed to have her made. We ain't got an automobile to drive. We got home. The electric company had turned off the lights. The water company turned off the water. We didn't have no power. We didn't have no water. Hey, guess what? And next day the banker comes to the door and said, you ain't paid your bill. Get out of the house. My plans just didn't work out right. We've all made plans that didn't turn out right. Amen. Something you've attempted to do didn't turn out right. You can't make things work like you thought they should, and you're trying to do them yourself. Instead of letting God do it for you, you're trying to do it yourself. Instead of accepting God,
go ahead,
Go ahead, get the news out. In His sovereignty and His sovereign will for your life, you've got to try to, well, if we'll do it this way, it'll work. Do it God's way. If you don't do it God's way, it won't work. Do it God's way, and I promise you, if it don't work, come and tell me about it, and we'll get out on the floor and pray and find out why it ain't working if you're doing it God's way. It'll either work God's way, or God is a liar, and God cannot lie, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. I didn't mean to preach this long. I don't even know what time it is. Hallelujah. Can't make things work like they should. Your life hasn't been lived according to your dreams. Oh, I had big dreams. And guess what? I woke up. And that's what it was a dream. Maybe someone hasn't lived up to your expectations. On a note of interest, get this now. In that verse I just read, verse 17, the righteous cry, get this now. And the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. On a note of interest, the word trouble there is used in the feminine gender. And it is denoting a female rival. In other words, this psalmist here is saying there was another woman who became a rival in my life. There was another woman that crossed my path. That's what happens to a lot of men, ladies and gentlemen, in the ministry. The devil bring another woman across their path, and she becomes a trouble to them. Come on in the house now. She becomes a rival to your own wife. And trouble starts. Read it if you don't believe, Brother Hall. Hallelujah. Now, our feebleness, many of our afflictions, it said in verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. That word afflictions means to spoil, break in pieces, make good for nothing, be bad physically, socially, morally, and so forth. How many in here tonight? Men here tonight? How many in here tonight are feeble because of some kind of disease? And you just don't feel like things have worked out right for you. We know a lot of people, don't we? That's got a disease tonight. You know what? Hey, they feel bad about it. Why is God doing me like this? If God loved me, he wouldn't do me this way. Come on now. Come on. You ain't asleep. Praise God. God delivers us out of all of our troubles, even our illnesses, ladies and gentlemen. I've heard people say that. If God loved me, I wouldn't be sick. I've heard that bunch of charismatics say, oh, if you've got the faith, God loves you, God don't want you to be sick. In Jesus' name, heal. Well, if God don't want you to be sick, he sure fouled up on that poor man at the gate of Lazarus, didn't he? He sure fell up on Paul when Paul said, I got a thorn, I got a thorn, I got a thorn. And Jesus said, it's good for you to be there. My grace is sufficient for that thorn. Let it alone. Amen. Paul also had a vision problem. He couldn't write his own letters. He had other men to write the letters that was written in that book. Because his eyesight was so bad. He was a little man. I guess him to look like somebody like Vance Havner talking out of his nose. He said his speech was contemptible. He wasn't a boisterous big man. And I'm going to tell you, he had enough power of God in him, buddy. When he walked in around them people, they were scared to death of him. Are you listening? Some folks get a little old and feel like they're over the hill. I guess that's me. Told Miss Hall the other night, I said, I feel like I'm done. I feel like I'm over the hill. I went to the doctor yesterday and got another handful of pills coming. I said, God, I'm telling you, I'm going to wake up. I said, we'll wake up some morning. I said, I'll be a big capsule laying over here beside you. There are some folks think they are old. They get a little old and they start thinking, well, I'm useless. And nobody loves me. And I'm going to tell you something. It is a shame when a lot of times when people grow old, their family abandons them. And they grow old. They become outcasts. And then we need deliverance over our foes. It said in verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Any foes tonight? Sure you have. Got any fears? Sure you have. Got any failures? Sure you have. Got any frustration? Sure you have. And I'm going to tell you, when David cried unto the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. Let's stand tonight.